From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, March Madness returns to SMU 22 years later. And biology, technology, and art collide at, where else, South by Southwest in Austin. In Dallas today, Texas Governor Greg Abbott came to town after an ice storm kept him away earlier this month. In front of a packed Chamber of Commerce lunch, he laid out his five emergency priorities for this legislature this session. The first two, on education, call for more money to expand and improve pre-K classes and add top researchers at state colleges and universities. As the legislation session approaches its halfway point, Abbott said senators and representatives have already embraced his challenge to beef up pre-K funding.
And both have been moving swiftly in advancing early education initiatives through the House and Senate. It's not if and it's not when, because both the House and Senate are going to pass early education.
Abbott's other emergency items include more money for border security, for roads, and for government ethics reform. He explained why they're called emergency items.
It's a term of art in the legislature, meaning that it's a priority for the governor, that the governor is hinting that it better be accomplished if you want to avoid a special session.
The governor vowed to keep the state at the top of the country's job creation charts. He also wants lawmakers to reduce taxes on employers and on property. Back in Austin, new tech startup companies vied for attention over the weekend, hoping to grab a foothold in the crowded digital marketplace. KERA's Alan Melson spent the weekend picking through the latest gadgets and listening to new ideas coming out of South by Southwest's interactive conference. He talks with Art and Seek's Ann Bothwell about what got the most attention.
Hey, Alan, you've had a very busy weekend. There have been hundreds of panels and demonstrations. Anything rising to the surface that everybody's talking about down there?
Well, Ann, besides the usual marketing blitz and the complaints about Austin traffic and the ongoing quest for the perfect breakfast taco, a term that keeps coming up again and again is the quote-unquote Internet of Things, the idea that more and more objects like your watch or your thermostat can connect to the Internet to either send or receive data that will make your life easier. Conference Director Hugh Forrest estimated that over 70 sessions this year somehow referenced that concept.
All right, the Internet of Things, that was a hot topic last year, too. Are there some new examples of technology or ways that this is being applied?
Well, there were a lot of discussions about wearables, stuff that you can wear that will connect to the Internet. In addition to the smartwatches from companies like Apple and Pebble, many other players are now moving into this area. There's a company called Ringly that makes stylish rings that can vibrate or flash different colors to let the wearer know about emails or calls or other notifications from their phone. And this actually looks like a real piece of jewelry. It's not gimmicky. Many people are also familiar with the Fitbit, a bracelet that measures your vital statistics and exercise. But now manufacturers are incorporating that technology right into their shoes and other athletic apparel. And there's also some other startups focusing on security and safety. There's one called August that's making a smart lock that allows you to control access to your home via virtual keys that you can create or delete via their app. And there's a really cool project in England that aims to make streets safer for people with physical or sensory disabilities by creating responsive street furniture. So overall, the trend seems to be moving away from gimmicky gadgets and towards devices that actually solve real problems with less effort.
Let's talk about video for a second. Anyone can make a video and upload it to YouTube, but it's a lot tougher to broadcast video live. That may be changing though, right?
Yeah, one of the breakout stories of this year's conference is an app called Meerkat, which allows any user to create a live video stream right from their iPhone and instantly post it on Twitter. The company has billed it as the easiest way yet for people to broadcast their own live event to a worldwide audience. And there's been a lot of buzz and people trying it out over this past weekend.
Well, that's kind of interesting because Twitter itself really took off after it was introduced at South by Southwest a couple of years ago. Is Meerkat going to get that big?
Well, ironically, after the conference began, Twitter announced it was buying a rival product to Meerkat, and they began restricting Meerkat's ability to integrate with their platform. So it remains to be seen whether the product can maintain this overnight success.
You've been blogging all weekend on Art and Seek, and one of the most fascinating posts that you wrote was about how artists are being influenced by biology and technology.
Yeah, Paola Antonelli of New York's Museum of Modern Art talked about how her museum collaborated with a local architect to construct a building out of bricks that were made from mushrooms and corn stalks, and they proved to be surprisingly durable. And she also cited an MIT project in which designers created a beautiful sculpture using a robot and over 6,000 silkworms that actually wove the sculpture to finish it out. And we've posted a pretty amazing video of that process at Art and Seek.
Man, trained silkworms and magic mushrooms. It sounds like you have seen it all there at South by Southwest, Alan.
Yeah, it was great.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Alan Melson and other KERA staffers have been blogging from South by Southwest. Read it all at artandseek.org. And if silkworm sculptors don't float your boat, how about the idea of living forever? Today on Think, science writer Ronald Bailey talked with Chris Boyd about the progress being made in the fight against aging and some of the objections people have.
A lot of people are always thinking that what you're doing is creating older people longer. But the whole point of this research is to be younger longer. So the first objection people have is, well, I don't want to be old and frail, you know, sitting in a wheelchair, unable to take care of myself and that kind of thing. But that's not the point of the research. The point of the research is, in fact, to make people younger longer, not older longer. Another objection that often comes up is a fear of overpopulation. What if everybody could live 200, 300 years? Wouldn't the world become more crowded over time? A demographer named Jay Olshansky's done the analysis where he basically said if we made everybody immortal tomorrow, it would take about 80 years for the world population to double at the current rates of fertility. And I believe that that would give us more than enough time to figure out what to do with regard to population if everybody did in fact get an extended lifespan.
Ronald Bailey's story, Eternal Youth for All, appears in the March issue of Reason magazine. Think re-airs tonight at 9, or listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. The 22-year wait is finally over. The SMU men's basketball team punched its NCAA tournament ticket on Sunday. The Mustangs won their first conference tourney since 1988. Reporter Gus Contreras stopped by a bar near campus for the selection celebration.
They could be forgiven if their minds weren't completely on class. Blame it on March Madness. The Mustangs are the number 6 seed. They'll take on the 11 seed UCLA on Thursday. That could make students like Jean Brigenet think twice about going to class.
I might have to. I mean, I'm a good student. It's not every time that you get this. Like, I mean, we're in college for 4 years and it doesn't happen very often.
On Sunday, fans filled a watch party at the Barley House near campus. The conference tournament win erased the pain of a long drought. For 1991 alumna Catherine Arata, the feeling is worth the wait.
It feels like a vindication. We played really hard all year. These guys have been an amazing team. They've done a great job playing together. Glad we're going to go and take on UCLA in the first round.
This season hasn't been all smiles for SMU. The team has dealt with injuries, grade problems, and NCAA allegations. This is the first time Larry Brown has coached a team to the tournament since Kansas won the title in 1988. He left for the NBA, and Kansas was put on probation for recruiting violations. Now, the Mustangs are facing problems of their own. Star forward Marcus Kennedy had to sit out the fall semester because of grades. Then, the NCAA ruled guard Keith Frazier ineligible. For Catherine Arata, it's all part of the ride.
It's the first time we've had anything really to be really excited about in 30 years, and it's wonderful.
Brown told the Mustangs radio network he'll just let this one sink in.
I'm going to enjoy celebrating this championship with our school because it's been a long time, and so thankful to be part of all this.
And at 2:10 Thursday afternoon, the teams left young SMU fans with a choice. Play student or play hooky? For KERA News, I'm Gus Contreras.
For the evening, should be partly cloudy with a low near 60. Tomorrow, we've got partly cloudy skies, a slight chance for showers with a high near 78. It's tomorrow night, we have a 60% chance for storms with a low around 58. 79 degrees in Dallas, 78 in Fort Worth, 79 in Tyler, and 80 in Wichita Falls. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.